got the problem is Biden. Because you look at what Biden did. Biden did what they would like to have me do, except for one problem. I didn't do it. What Biden did is a disgrace. What his son did is a disgrace. The son took money from Ukraine. The son took money from China. A lot of money from China. China would love to see. They could think of nothing they'd rather see than Biden get in, because they will take this great deal that we're about to make, and they would really have themselves a deal for themselves. So let me just tell you, what Biden did was wrong.
President Trump arriving at the United Nations this morning, dismissing allegations he asked Ukraine's president to dig up dirt on Joe Biden. The former vice president hit back on the campaign trail over the weekend. Here he is at the Iowa Steak Fry, lambasting a reporter who asked him about his son Hunter Biden's overseas business dealings.
Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum. And he's using the abuse of power and every element of the presidency to try to do something to smear me. Everybody looked at this and everybody's looked at it and said there's nothing there. Ask the right question.
Mr. Biden, okay.
Well, it's the latest back and forth in the big whistleblower story that's been developing minute by minute recently. To help us make sense of all of this, we turn now to Ben Schreckinger, national political correspondent for Politico. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's talk about what President Trump is talking about. He called Joe Biden a disgrace and what Hunter Biden did as a disgrace. What exactly is he accusing both of them of?
He appears to be accusing them of corruption, bribery, some sort of quid pro quo. He's at times vague about exactly what the allegation is.
Okay, but let's go back and get the facts, because Hunter Biden was on the board of a Ukrainian national gas company. Can you tell us about that?
So back in April of 2014, Hunter, as well as a business partner and friend of his named Devin Archer, take seats on the board of Burisma Holdings, which is a Ukrainian natural gas company whose founder at the time had been facing investigative scrutiny for a couple of years, potential money laundering, tax evasion. So as part of an effort to make inroads in the West, show that he's making an effort at due diligence, he puts these Americans on the board, including Hunter Biden, whose father at the time was overseeing Ukraine policy for the Trump administration. Hunter didn't have experience in the energy sector. He didn't have experience doing business in Ukraine. So the appointment at the time raised some eyebrows, given the fact that his father was overseeing Ukraine policy. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 2 years later, the prosecutor general, who has oversight of some of the investigations into Burisma and its founder, Viktor Shokin, is pushed out by the Ukrainian government, basically at the behest of Joe Biden, who is acting on behalf of the Obama administration, saying, we want Shokin out. The administration considered Shokin corrupt. Other Western institutions didn't like him, considered him corrupt. The problem is that Shokin's office at the time did have these investigations. It doesn't sound like they were aggressively pursuing them at the time. But ethics experts have weighed in and said that this, has the appearance of a potential conflict of interest.
Right. So that's what President Trump is trying to raise here, saying basically that this guy, that Obama pressured this prosecutor pressured the government to get rid of this prosecutor because he was looking into a company that Hunter Biden was involved with.
And to be clear, there's no indication that the Obama administration's calculus was affected by this relationship with Hunter Biden. There had been Obama administration officials who, in fact, had been vocally supportive of these investigations into Burisma, into its founder. But the sort of coincidence of circumstances where Joe Biden is the one delivering this message, telling the Ukrainian government that the U.S. is going to withhold loan guarantees if they don't get rid of Shokin, has raised eyebrows and has led ethics experts to say that this has at least the appearance of a potential conflict of interest.
Mm. But why was Hunter Biden interested in being on the board of this Ukrainian company to begin with?
Well, his compensation reportedly in some months was as high as $50,000 a month. So I suppose almost anyone would jump at the chance for a well-paid seat on the board of an energy company.
Right. Even though he didn't speak the language, he had no experience in energy, any of that.
Right. And he had been seeking deals, investment opportunities around the country and around the world at that point as part of this Rosemont Seneca venture, which he had been pursuing along with Chris Hines, who is John Kerry's stepson.
And Rosemont Seneca is a private equity firm, and Hunter Biden's a partner there. And this is also where President Trump is bringing in China, because Rosemont Seneca invested in some Chinese entities backed by the Bank of China.
So Hunter and Devin ended up doing business in China. Chris Hines has said that he had nothing to do with either the Burisma board positions or the dealings in China, despite the use of Rosemont names and Rosemont entities, because the Rosemont name is associated with the Hines family. He's disavowed this, but Hunter and Devin Archer formed a partnership with a firm called Bohai Harvest, a Chinese investment firm, and formed a vehicle called Bohai Harvest RST, which did a number of investments in China, including some that have financing from state-backed firms, or in at least one case, probably several, invest in technologies that are used by the Chinese state.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so none of this is illegal, right? And so why all the clouding accusations on the part of President Trump? Is this basically him trying to just throw up a bunch of stuff to make it look like something nefarious was going on?
Well, Trump is often a very successful political opportunist. There are real legitimate questions about the propriety of some of these dealings, and the question of whether there were sufficient firewalls between Hunter and his father. And ethics experts have said that Biden's relatives, that any president's relative should forego seeking foreign sources of financing while Biden would be in the Oval Office. So Trump has seized on this as a potential opportunity to fling mud, potentially dig up dirt. He has been overstating the case in terms of whether there's actually been clear evidence of wrongdoing that's emerged. There hasn't. And he apparently is pressuring the government of Ukraine to try to reopen investigations and see if he can fling dirt at Biden heading into this presidential contest.
But this is difficult for Biden, because Biden, you know, I guess the more this is brought up, the more there are questions raised about what you've described as the propriety of these dealings. But then he has to fight back if he's in campaign mode.
That's right. Ironically, this move, which looks sort of boneheaded and brazen by Trump, could end up inflicting some damage on Biden, simply because to understand what Trump allegedly is doing here, you do have to understand the backstory of Hunter's business dealings. And Joe Biden is in a competitive primary right now. Someone like Elizabeth Warren, who appears to be his next closest challenger for the nomination, has run on a good governance platform. So this is something that is difficult for Joe Biden to capitalize on, despite what seems to be clear missteps by the president here.
All right, Ben, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ben Schreckinger with Politico. Let's look now at the legal questions surrounding Trump and this call, where he apparently asked Ukrainian officials to investigate the Bidens. Jessica Levinson is here, as she is most Mondays. She's a law professor at Loyola Law School and a regular Legal. Hello there.
Hello there. Here every Monday that's not a government holiday.
Well, it's good to see you. Why is asking a foreign government to investigate your political rival problematic from a legal standpoint?
Yes, let's put to the side the potential ethical and moral and political considerations and say that what are we looking at here? We're looking at potential issues of violations of the federal bribery statute, the federal extortion statute, the federal campaign finance laws, and the Federal Corrupt Practices Act. Now, I don't think this is a kind of slam dunk case of absolutely this is bribery, because for anyone who's reading former prosecutors, current lawyers who practice in this area talk about it, there's differing opinions. But does it raise serious questions of bribery, extortion, election law, corrupt practices? Absolutely.
However, heads of state frequently use military aid, if indeed that was the promise there, the delivering of military aid in exchange for this investigation, which has not been proven yet. Presidents frequently use military aid as a wedge, a way to get countries to do what they want them to do.
Yeah. So for all of the actions that we're talking about, there's essentially two things that have to happen. There's the president exerting some sort of force or persuasion, and that happens all the time. Presidents constantly try and convince Congress, try and convince foreign heads of state, do what I want, and here's the carrot that I'm going to give you to get you to do what I want. What's different in this case is that what President Trump wants in return isn't, and do what I want because it's good for the global economy, or do what I want because it's better for the national, for the security of that area or the stability of that area. He's saying, do what I want because I want something that's going to help my election campaign. And that's what makes this fundamentally different. So we talked about when it comes to, we've talked about this in the past when it came to digging up dirt, for instance, on Hillary Clinton and the famous Trump Tower meeting, whether or not opposition research is a thing of value. Here we are again talking about one of the big legal questions is the president saying to the Ukrainians, if he in fact did, basically start this investigation because it's going to be helpful for me in my political campaign, is that a thing of value? I think the better answer is yes, we could absolutely embrace a definition of a thing of value that includes that.
Mm, interesting. And then there's also the issue of asking a foreign government for help in a U.S. election.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what the federal campaign finance violation would boil down to, which is you cannot have a foreign national, including the head of state, for instance, provide money to try and affect an election. And in this case, it could be money, again, or a thing of value. If the opposition research is a thing of value, it's a foreign national trying to interfere with our elections. Now, there's also broader questions here of corrupting the whole process. I mean, all of these statutes that we're talking about, dealing with bribery, dealing with extortion, dealing with campaign finance, dealing with corrupt practices, they still all, in a way, don't envision, Congress didn't in a way even understand that a president might be in this position. And so again, we're seeing President Trump's alleged actions kind of acting as a stress test on our legal system. And now we're trying to figure out, like, which bucket does this fit within?
Yeah. Well, so I guess, what if the investigation turns out that Hunter Biden didn't do anything wrong, or if there is an investigation launched, or Joe Biden didn't do anything wrong, then would that thing of value not be a thing of value? You know what I mean? Because it wouldn't count against him, politically.
So we had such a similar question when it came to the Trump Tower meeting and like opposition research on Hillary Clinton. And what if it actually wasn't dirt at all? And what the campaign finance statute, at least, and the other statutes we're talking about embrace is the idea that an attempt could be enough. So even trying to get a thing of value might be enough in some of these instances. And so just following through and having the conversation, trying to get them to do something that's helpful for your political campaign alone could be problematic, even if nothing comes of it.
What about the issue of the inspector general not turning over the whistleblower's complaint to Congress? That is a violation of law. Is that a clear-cut case? And what if he was pressured by President Trump?
Yeah. Is that a clear-cut case? I mean, I'm always a little anxious about saying slam dunk case. I would say it looks like that is, yes, it looks like that's a problem. It looks like that should have been turned over. That's frankly why we know about this at all, because Representative Adam Schiff sent a letter saying, you need to turn this over. Under the law, I have to be able to see it. There's a lot of questions here about the inspector general, the Department of Justice in general. How much political pressure is it under, not just in this specific action, but we could talk about a lot of actions where it looks like the Department of Justice is not as independent as maybe the framers envisioned, for instance.
So there's a lot of talk of ramping up the impeachment inquiry, and we have talked about a sitting president not being able to be indicted. Is that where this would head if there were any repercussions?
So, yes, it's interesting because, again, this idea from there's a Department of Justice memo that's not just from this Department of Justice. It dates back decades that says you can't indict a sitting president in part because of separation of powers concerns. And the idea is because we have a mechanism to deal with presidents who behave badly. It's called impeachment. And so it puts more pressure on this idea that we do, in fact, need to use impeachment proceedings. The idea that there's no other way, at least while the president is still president, to punish him. And so what does that mean for impeachment? That's a political question. I think that there's a difference at this point between activists who are getting incredibly antsy, that's probably an understatement, and the Democratic electorate that might not be there. Again, remember, impeachment by the House is a simple majority. Conviction by the Senate, which is what actually removes a president, is a two-thirds vote. I think we're in a situation now where we have separation of parties, not separation of powers. I don't see a conviction.
Jessica Levinson teaches law at Loyola Law School. She is our regular Monday Legal Eagle here on Press Play. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we are almost at the end of the UnDrive. Just a few seconds here to get you, if you haven't done so already, I know a lot of us, I am guilty of this myself, of procrastinating to the very, very last minute. Well, now is the last minute because tomorrow it's over. So we have an ambitious two-day challenge to help us cross the finish line. If we can raise $35,000 by midnight tomorrow, your pledge will be matched dollar for dollar, courtesy of our board member, Sari Kane. So that's a pretty good incentive right there. KCRW.com/join and do it now. Do not put it off a second longer, and thank you. Coming up, the fight between the U.S. and Iran escalates. Are we getting closer to war? That conversation next on Press Play.